This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Two of the grandsons of former West Virginia Governor Arch Moore are looking forward to spending more time together. They've both been elected to the House of Delegates. Moore Capito of Charleston is the son of U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito, and Riley Moore of Harper's Ferry is the son of Arch A. Moore III. They sat down with us for a little family reunion. I note your names. Moore, of course, Moore Capito, the family name, Moore. And Riley, your name is your grandmother's maiden name. She was Shelley Riley.
Correct.
What's with the name thing in the Moore family?
Yeah, we don't go too far outside the circle on those. Moore's full name is actually Arch Alfred Moore Capito. My brother's Arch Alfred Moore, and I'm Riley Moore. We're not too innovative, I guess, with the names.
Yeah, I think Riley hit that one on the head. It's certainly, we're not very creative. In my immediate family, we have two Shelleys, two Charleses, and then me, a Moore.
Why did you two want to get involved in politics? Riley, we'll start with you.
Well, I have, it certainly wasn't what I set out to do in my career. I actually started my career off as a welder and ended up going to college while welding. And then after 9/11, I changed my focus in school from computer science to political science, and I ended up going on the Hill. And so public service was something that I, once in it, really took to, and I wanted to find another way to try to give back and do public service in a state that I care so much about after working on the Hill on the House Foreign Affairs Committee for so long. And that's really what kind of drew me to it. And also the idea that we've all been talking about here is that West Virginia's got to change. We've reached a critical point. And being in an area of the state that is growing, I thought that it needed to be better represented, its business equities and interests in that growth. So,
and more?
You know, growing up here in the Kanawha Valley has been a very special experience. It's a place that's given me so much. I feel blessed to have been raised here. And, you know, witnessing, I suppose, firsthand, some of the positive effects that public service can have on folks made an impact on me from a very, very early age. I stepped away from West Virginia for a few years to go to school. The West Virginia that I returned to looked a little bit different than the one I left. And so that kind of rang an internal bell for me.
Now let me ask you both this. I covered Governor Arch Moore during his third term in office, knew him well, and we know what happened, and we know he spent some years in prison. As the family, what were those years like, or what did your parents tell you about what had happened?
You know, I was, you know, right here in Charleston, and so, you know, when we talk about it now, it was kind of in the belly of the beast, so to speak, and very, very frankly, those were difficult years. And, you know, to try to, you know, for my parents to try to, I think, spin that in a way that was, I think was hard to do. But, you know, I loved and still do love all the memories and love very, very intensely both of my grandparents. And so what you found out really being here and talking to people and growing up in it is that you find out who your true friends are. Your skin gets quite a bit thicker. And I really truly believe everything that we went through has shaped who I am as a person and strengthened me.
Riley, what were your memories of those years?
Well, yeah, I mean, as Moore aptly points out, I mean, those were certainly difficult times. And especially for my parents, my father, I love my grandparents very much, and they are certainly formative in shaping the individual that I became. And no, that was difficult. You know, for me, I was I'm the oldest grandson. I was a little bit older while this stuff was going on, so it was pretty clear to me what was happening. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was certainly difficult, but no, by no means, in my view, mm-hmm. Diminishes any of the great things that he did for this state.
What advice have you gotten from your mother about running for office more?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is to, you know, never take yourself too seriously. You know, we have occasion to get so caught up in these elections and these campaigns that if you really can't laugh and you can't enjoy it, then you really shouldn't be doing it. And you can't be effective at doing it. So never really taking yourself too seriously, I think, is a big one. And loyalty. I mean, you know, my mother is the most loyal person I know. That got her through much of the items that we've already spoken about today. But also, you know, she's rooted that deeply, I think, in me and my brother and my sister. And so moving forward, I try to take those things with me.
Mm-hmm. Riley, any advice from Aunt Shelley or your father?
Well, yeah, no, certainly. I've asked my aunt quite a bit of questions going through this, and she's been tremendously helpful in, you know, just as Moore pointed out, you know, I mean, you got to be able to try to laugh at some of this stuff. And just her attitude in public service, I think, has been just impeccable and certainly instructional. And the manner in which I aspire to serve in the state of West Virginia, and no, certainly instructive, and certainly there's been some interesting anecdotal stories as I've gone through this from my own father as mm-hmm. he was going around with my grandfather at the time when he was a young man on the campaign trail. So it's definitely been educational.
Delegate-elect Moore Capito, Delegate-elect Riley Moore. Congratulations and good luck with it, and thank you.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank you.
Riley Moore is interested in sitting on the House Finance Committee. Moore Capito is interested in energy and finance. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Mostly sunny skies today. Temperatures in the 40s, becoming partly cloudy overnight with lows in the teens and 20s. Variable cloudiness on Wednesday. There's a slight chance of rain. Temperatures in the 40s and 50s, a chance of rain Wednesday night and on Thanksgiving Day with daytime highs in the 40s and 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
Telemedicine has been touted as a way to bridge provider shortage gaps in rural areas. But despite the need, Appalachia still struggles with adequate broadband coverage. Carol Lofton reports.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Lindsay Kennedy is a nurse practitioner. She manages the telemedicine program at Bland County Medical Center in southwestern Virginia. She's standing in front of a monitor speaking with a colleague in Charlottesville.
Okay, so I'm calling regarding your psych referral that you had submitted. I have an availability block available next Friday at 2 o'clock.
Okay, do you have anything sooner than that? I feel like this patient really needs to be seen as soon as possible.
I have...
There are only two psychiatrists within a 30-minute drive of the clinic, and both are booked for several months. So next week, when this patient comes to the clinic for his appointment, Kennedy will wheel the same cart with the camera and screen that she's currently using into an exam room, just like she does for patients who need to see a number of specialists patients can't access in the rural Virginia county.
We have accessories that you can plug into, like if they need to listen to heart or lung sounds, we have a stethoscope that you can plug in, and then on my end, I'll hold it up to the patient just as I was doing an assessment, and then on their end, they'll be able to hear those sounds.
The Bland County Medical Center sits in that tip of Virginia that curves down between West Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Kennedy says patients from all of those states utilize the clinic's telemedicine services because it's a federally qualified health center. That means many of the clinic's patients are uninsured or underinsured. Without telemedicine, when the patients need to see specialty providers, they have to drive to a hospital that offers financial assistance, which could be hours away.
But it's just not feasible for our patients to drive that far and provide the finances for transportation and the time for that.
Telemedicine at clinics around the country offer a way to bridge that gap. Most telemedicine systems are like video conference calls. They connect patients with remote doctors via the internet. At the centrally located Bland County Medical Center, patients have consults with doctors at the University of Virginia Medical Center in Charlottesville, some 3 hours away.
I think there's been a clear communication in the country that rural people need access to resources.
That's David Gordon Cattle, director of telemedicine for UVA. UVA works with 150 rural clinics like the one in Bland County.
We've done now more than 60,000 patient encounters in more than 60 different specialties. And we have saved Virginians more than 16.4 million miles of travel.
West Virginia University also has a telemedicine program, as does the University of Kentucky. It's a growing field, but there's a catch in Appalachia. Much of the region lacks adequate broadband service.
Without broadband, you don't have telemedicine.
According to the Federal Communications Commission, 10% of Americans lack access to high-speed broadband. But in rural parts of the country, like Appalachia, that number spikes to 39%. Recently, there has been a federal push to expand broadband in rural America. In April, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced nearly $12 million of grant money to help establish broadband access in rural areas. But customers still face challenges.
We are working with Carilion to do cardiology clinics because a lot of our patients have heart attacks and they're flown out to Roanoke and they're expected to follow up in Roanoke. And a 2-hour drive for a 90-year-old elderly woman is not feasible.
The Bland Clinic had to add an additional IP address to be able to electronically connect to a hospital system in Roanoke. But there's only one internet provider in the county, and they weren't in a rush to get the project done. Installation.
That took 6 months. It was something that could have been done in a day, but because we only have the one carrier in the area, they took their time with it. They knew that we didn't have anybody else to go to.
In January, West Virginia legislators proposed a bill to create a $72 million state-run broadband network. The proposal was meant to help avoid the problem of having only one provider in a rural area. But the bill was never put to a vote in the House because of a lack of support from some Republican leaders. Both Kennedy and Gordon Cattle emphasized that without broadband, you can't have telemedicine. UVA is working to expand telemedicine into the local public school system. But Kennedy says everyone's pretty nervous about whether the school's internet will be fast enough to manage the task.
I mean, it's a lot of people don't think about it, but that's your fundamental for telemedicine. You have to have that connection, so you have that flawless face-to-face encounter.
Gordon Cattle says rural broadband isn't just about healthcare, although that's desperately needed. He says broadband has the potential to bolster rural economies by helping rural hospitals stay open and creating technology jobs. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.